Welcome to Evidence-Based Mommy. I'm your host, Dr. Samantha Radford, and I'm here to combine science and wellness to help parents and kids thrive. Hey there, welcome to the 13th episode of Evidence-Based Mommy. We are going to talk some this week about how to handle those first 90 days or so of having your brand new baby. So you may have heard the phrase before, the fourth trimester. That's what we're talking about. So the idea here is that babies, human babies specifically, are unique because we're actually kind of underdeveloped whenever we are first born because of the way, you know, that our pelvises are put together, that our hips are put together, because we walk on two legs instead of four. It means that our heads need to be smaller when we are first born. And the best way to have that happen is to have us born before our brain is developed quite as much as would be ideal. So your baby has a lot of development to do as they are going through those first 3 months after birth. So we call that the fourth trimester because, you know, we have the first three, well, we have the three trimesters of pregnancy. We call those first 3 months after they're born the fourth trimester because of all the brain development that happens during that time. And of course, that is a critical time for your baby, but it's also a critical time for you as a new mother. Like, you've got so much going on. You have done so much. You have, you know, had this crazy experience of birth, no matter what that looked like, all these things going on, and you need taken care of too. So that's why we want to talk about surviving the fourth trimester, not just for your baby. Like, we'll definitely spend lots of time throughout this whole podcast talking about how to take care of your baby, but let's just talk more about taking care of yourself today. Now, if you are still kind of at that point where you're not quite sure, like your baby hasn't been born yet, you can check out my free non-toxic baby registry list. So I'll make sure to link to that in the show notes. And like I say, that's all about building a non-toxic baby registry. So my background actually is in exposure science. So it's looking at chemicals and how they affect us, how they affect very young babies. So that's, you know, where my expertise is at. So I've got this registry list so you know how to protect your baby. But right now, like I said, let's talk more about taking care of yourself during the first, or well, the fourth trimester, the first 90-ish days after your baby's born. The biggest thing is to get support from others. I know that whenever your baby is first born, you may think that you're supposed to do everything, that you're supposed to have everything figured out, and that is definitely not the case. For the sake of your mental health, as well as the well-being of your precious newborn, it's important to take the support from helpful people that you can get, so you're making sure to balance the needs of yourself, your household, and this new little bundle of joy that you've got. So a lot of times what will happen when you first get home from the hospital is everyone will want to come over and visit and meet the new baby. And that's, you know, that's fine. Although honestly, if you don't want to, like if you're like, I would rather just be left alone, that's okay. Just say we're not accepting visitors at this time. When my first baby was born, like I didn't get that. And so I had friends come over, you know, these friends didn't have kids yet, so they didn't know what it was like. I had family coming over and just lots of people. And honestly, it was really stressful to me. A lot of times people will want to come over and they'll want to, quote unquote, help you by holding the baby so that you can go wash dishes. No, we're not playing that. So if people come over to help you, or even if they don't come to help, you can just tell them like, yeah, sure, it's great for you to come over. Do you mind bringing me some food? Do you mind picking up a pizza for us? Do you mind bringing, like, you know, your great lasagna recipe that I love so much? Ooh, and could you make another one that we could freeze? So one to eat now, one to freeze. Hey, thank you so much for coming over. On your way out, do you mind taking out the trash? You know, anything like that that you can get help with, get the help. They could help by taking your dogs for a walk. They could do some dishes. So like I said, you know, I had a lot of people come over that were not helpful with the first baby, and they would overstay their welcome, like stay there for like hours, and I was exhausted. And I didn't have the sense to be like, go away. But one friend came over, and she had a baby, so she knew what it was like. Her child was, I think, right around a year old, so she had just been through this recently. She came over, she brought food, she talked to me for a little while, checked in to see how I was doing. She probably held my little girl some, I imagine, but I do know she swept for me, and she did my dishes, and she kissed me on the head and told me to take a nap and left. And that was just the very best thing, because like that's what we need when we very first have a baby, is we just need help. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. If you're kind of like the sort of person who is nervous to ask for help, you know, find someone who's not afraid. So maybe your partner could be like, hey, we need XYZ. Can you pick up this thing from the grocery store on your way? Maybe like you have a sister or a sister-in-law that you're really close with that they could, you know, put together like a meal train for you and send out, you know, on Facebook Messenger or something like a, hey, we're trying to get together food for, you know, for my sister for her first few days with the baby, anything like that. So yeah, if you're too nervous to ask for help, which I get, a lot of us, you know, we've kind of been programmed that way to where we're afraid to ask for help. Find someone who's willing to ask for help on your behalf and get them to do that. And that might be easier. And then as far as just taking care of yourself, there's a lot you can do for that too. Because of course, your main priority is taking care of the baby. Like your priority is not the dishes, is not vacuuming, is not trying to make your house look perfect so that, you know, judgmental people coming over to your house to meet the baby don't get bent out of shape. Like, screw them. The baby is your priority and yourself, because whether you had a C-section or whether you had a vaginal birth, or even if you went through adoption and all the stress with that, like, you've got a lot. You know, if you went through birth in any way, that's like a huge amount of recovery physically that you need to be doing. So the first thing I suggest is to sleep a whole lot, like whenever you can. And I know they tell you sleep when the baby sleeps, and that's cute. You can try to do that, but brand new babies tend to wake up every like 2 to 4 hours. So your sleep is going to be broken anyways. So with that said, you know, you can spend lots of time in bed yourself. Sleep whenever you can. Kind of, you know, like sleep with your baby. We talked, you know, in one of our first episodes about the safety and risks of bed sharing and how to bed share safely. Make sure you check that out. If you're breastfeeding, a lot of times people will tell you, oh, we'll just hand off the nighttime feeds, you know, to dad or to your partner or whoever. Like, let them do a bottle at night. That is not my suggestion, especially in those first few days with your baby, because your body is working on figuring out exactly how much milk it needs to make. And your prolactin levels, we talked about this in another episode too, go up at night. So night is when your body really tells your breast, basically, like, how much milk to make. And so if you're skipping nighttime feeds, especially if this is your first baby, there's a good chance that you will mess up the regulation of your milk production. And you may or may not see the issue with it yet, but months down the road, that can affect your milk production. So go to bed early. Like, I'm talking, go to bed at 7:30 or 8:30 at night. Take a nap during the day when you can. You know, do all the things you can do to make sure that you get sleep, and then you can still be able to breastfeed at night. And I know that's a lot harder when you're working outside the home. So with my first little girl, I only had 6 weeks to the day from when she was born to when I went back to work. And that was really tough. And it's really hard to get sleep. That's when you really, really need to go to bed early whenever you can. With the others, I was able to take a bit more time off of work with my fourth one. I just didn't go back. I stayed here and worked on Evidence-Based Mommy, and it was awesome. So I had a more flexible schedule. But yeah, just try to get as much sleep as you can. The next thing for you to do, and of course, talk to your doctor about this, but is to take small walks. So it really helps to promote your blood flow. It helps you heal. And it really makes a big difference in your mood, especially if you can get out of the house. So with your very first walk or two after your baby is born, it could be really, really short. So I remember when my second baby was brand new, just a couple days old, I was like, I'll go for a walk because it'll be good for me. And I made it like to the end of my pretty short road. And that was it. I had to turn around and come back. And I was wore out even after that. At that time, as much as I love baby wearing and carrying my baby around everywhere, right when your baby is brand new is not the time to do that because, you know, you're still healing. You'd be surprised how much pressure a wrap can put on your core. If your baby is really, really tiny, like 6 or 7 pounds, it may not be safe for them to be in a carrier just yet because it could obstruct their airflow. So let someone else carry the baby or just hold on to the baby, you know, while you take your little walk. After a few weeks and especially after a few months, like you'll be fine wearing that baby carrier and going out a little more. I can remember my first one was born in the summer down in Georgia, so it was hot. But once she was a couple months old, you know, I took a walk with her as often as I could, and it was good for both of us. So like I said, a baby carrier is great once you're past those first couple of days. So it makes things a lot easier because it lets you have constant contact with your baby. It lets them cuddle up with you and enjoy it because they really still need that at that time. Like I said, babies are born kind of earlier than they quote unquote should be in a way. And so they still need help with temperature regulation, with their heart rate regulation, with breathing regulation, and being skin to skin, or at least like right up against you, really actually helps them with a lot of that. So that's one of the reasons baby carriers are so great. And that way, once you start feeling up to it enough, if you want to do some housework, you could do a little bit, like maybe some sweeping while you've got the baby in the carrier. Now, with housework, you know, once again, as I mentioned before, like listen to your body. I can remember after my third baby was born, he was about 3 weeks old. My husband was cleaning up some, and I'm sure the girls were quote unquote helping a little, but they were like a year and a half old and 2.5 years old. So, you know, help is a relative term. Well, year and a half, 3.5. Anyways, they were very, very small. And so I thought I would vacuum. And when I started vacuuming, I noticed I started bleeding more because, you know, you do have bleeding postpartum. My bleeding got heavier with the vacuuming. And so that was my body's way of telling me like, hey, hold up, you need to stop. Which actually, that's another thing to keep in mind too. So you will have you will have postpartum bleeding for probably 6-ish weeks. So be aware of that. You know, that's totally normal. What you do need to watch out for is if your bleeding has been tapering off, which it will, and then it gets worse after activity, that means you need to slow down. So like I said, you know, vacuuming that time when I was about 3 weeks postpartum was apparently a no-go. Like that's what my body told me. Sometimes, like, I think we went to the zoo once when I was probably like 6 weeks, 8 weeks postpartum, something like that. And of course, that's a lot of walking. And by the end of that, I was bleeding a bit more. So it's like, oh, I should have waited. So, you know, remember your body's limits and take care of it. And, you know, be patient because trust me, you've got your whole freaking life for laundry, like, and for vacuuming. Like, you know, if people are offering the help, take it. And if they're not offering the help, like, oh, well, so there's going to be some fuzz in your floor. Like, it's going to be okay. The other thing to keep in mind, and perhaps the most important thing to keep in mind, is to take care of yourself mentally and emotionally. So after your baby is born, of course, you have hormones, like some are crashing down, some are coming up, like you've just got a lot going on. And I mean, of course, you have like big life changes going on too. You know, you've got a brand new baby. If this is your first baby, like this is a brand new role in your life. You've got this tiny, tiny, helpless person who's completely dependent upon you for everything. That's a lot of pressure. And so it's okay if you're nervous about it. With that said, a lot of times people just treat, you know, emotional, like if you have emotional outburst or breakdown sobbing or whatever, they're just like, oh, that's just normal. That's motherhood. And don't have anything to say about it. And that may or may not actually be the case. So you can have postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety, any of those postpartum mood disorder type things, anytime within the first year after your baby is born. So like I've mentioned before to lots of people, I finally came to realize that my postpartum mood stuff would get worse around like 4 or 5 months postpartum. So, you know, even past that fourth trimester period, well past the first 6 weeks of what they call, you know, the baby blues. So look for it anytime, not just in that fourth trimester, but anytime within the first year. And if you're having trouble managing your mood for more than 2 weeks, that means it's time to see someone. Whether that means, you know, to find a therapist if you don't have one already, whether, you know, some other kind of counselor or mentor, possibly talking to your doctor if they are good for mental health type stuff. But yeah, only 2 weeks, which surprised me when I heard that at first, because I thought, you know, basically you should be like suffering for months or years or whatever before it's bad enough that you needed to see someone. But that's not the case. Go ahead and get help, because the faster you get help, not only, of course, the faster you feel better, but the less likely you are for this to turn into like a major depressive thing instead of something that bounces back really quickly. So with all that said, let me know what I missed. If there's anything in particular about surviving the fourth trimester that you would like me to talk more about, I would love to know. Let me know in the comments. And thank you so much. And I will see you next week.